You've tuned into His Name Ministries Podcast.
Amen. Destiny and I, just a couple weeks ago, we just came back from, we were in Canada. We were there on a Canada tour. We were gone for 2 weeks, actually 11 days. And we started off far up in a small little town called Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. And it was like 30 below zero there, freezing, cold, small town. And it was amazing. We went on a Canada tour. And this tour, we went to a bunch of places. It was 11 days. 9 of the days we spoke 9 times in 11 days. And that included our traveling to different places. We flew to every place we were at. They were all like, you know, hundreds or thousands of miles apart. But the first service, we went to a town called Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. And this service was, this church was on a ranch. The pastor, he's a cowboy, rodeo, bull rider. He's a tough guy. Pastor Frank would love him because he was real big about a husband taking care of his wife, and he would give me little pointers. You know, the first time I was there, he would always say, "Brandon, go warm the car up for your wife." Because I wouldn't warm it up. I didn't think about that. If I get in the cold car, she can get in there with me. I don't want to go out twice. He goes, you should always warm up the car for your wife. When you go to the grocery store, push her cart. I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. But anyways, to follow Destiny in a grocery store, she weaves in and out. And I get caught in traffic jams. And I'm sorry, my cart's too big. I'm like, Destiny, just pick a place. You know, you go too quick. But we had a powerful time, powerful service. God really moved. And after that, we went to Edmonton, Alberta. That was I'm not sure how far it was. It was like a 2-hour flight. And we saw God move. We saw his presence come in. People drove. It was amazing on this tour. We saw people driving hours away for me to pray for them. That one church in Edmonton, this family came up to me and said, "We drove here 2 hours and we want you to pray for us." And it was a husband, a wife, and all their kids. And we had a service that night, and I said, "I'll pray for you tonight." And God really touched them. The presence of God just melted their hearts. And everywhere we went, we saw that. From there, we went to a place called Kelowna, British Columbia. We saw God move. And then we went to Toronto, which that's from the west. Kelowna is right above Seattle. It's right by Vancouver. We went from there, and we went straight to Toronto. Preached at a church there, and that church, it was amazing what we saw God do. You know, we walk into the church, and I go into the pastor's office, and we're sitting there, and the pastor comes in, and we're talking to the pastor, a man full of God, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. And then he's talking, and we walk out to the church, and there's like 1,500 people there. Place is packed out, people going after God. And I was like, whoa. I was like, this is awesome. And the thing that really blessed me is when I walked in there and I'm on the front row and I'm worshiping God, I could just sense God's presence restoring me and giving me strength. I thought I had strength, but it was like God was like overwhelming me. His presence was overwhelming me. And I couldn't help it. I just started weeping and crying, and I'm like, "Brandon, get it together. They're about to call you up." And I got it together, and I got up there. And what we saw, it was truly amazing what God did. We saw miracles, and we saw all the young people. The pastor said, "I want you to impart to all my young people." So they all came up, and I prayed for all the young people. And it was amazing. I was sitting there, I was standing there, and my mind was going back. When I first came to California, when I first was in that small trailer, when I was preaching to myself, and it was like the Lord was bringing like a video, all these like highlights of different moments in my life, moments where I could have quit, moments I could have given up, moments I felt discouraged, moments where people were trying to give me their opinion, but I knew I was trusting God. And it was like the Lord was like showing me like, this is the big picture. You know, things in your life where you're at now, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. With God, God increases us daily. We're not called to, the past is not, you hear so many people, oh, the good old days. Your good old days are ahead of you. Amen. Just like Joshua and Caleb, you know, and Caleb was 85 and he says, give me this mountain. He wasn't saying, oh, my good old days. I could have had that mountain, but no, he said, I am well able. Give me this mountain. With God, our best days are not behind us, but they're ahead of us. Amen. God is so good. I want to share. I'm really excited about sharing this morning. I didn't know I was going to share this exactly. The Lord's been putting this on my heart, and I've just been meditating on it and thinking about it. But it's this, the authority that we have as Christians. As Christians, we have authority. We have been given power. We're not losers, amen, but we are winners through Christ. The days of weak Christians are over. You're not called to be weak. You're not called to be barely getting by. How's that going to glorify God? But you're called to be strong. You're called to have a boldness. You're called to have a courage. And the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're called to be strong. You don't have to go through this earthly life miserable. Jesus cares if you have joy. He says he wants his joy to be inside of you. He doesn't want you going through life miserable, sad, depressed. That's not what you're called to do. That's not who you're called to be. And I've known so many miserable, so many depressed, grouchy, fearful Christians. I've grown up and I've seen some things. I've heard people and the way they talk and they come talk to me or they're mean and I try to avoid them. They're grouchy. They're not nice. But we are called to be nice. Amen. Not called to be weak, not called to be miserable, but called to be strong and called to be happy. Amen. Called to have joy. In Mark chapter 16, you don't have to turn there right now, but Mark chapter 16, they go to find Jesus in the tomb and he's not there. The angel said, you know what? Jesus been crucified. And guess what? The grave didn't defeat Jesus. The cross didn't defeat Jesus. He is alive. This is what Jesus was called to do. This is what he was called to do, to be the perfect sacrifice of sin and sickness, to take on depression. That's what he was called to do. To do it for you and I. Wasn't called just to be worshiped, wasn't called just to be adored or liked by people or be the king on the earth. No, Jesus walked his earthly ministry, 30 years of preparation for 3 years of public ministry. And the most religious people of the day wanted to kill him. His own followers, he was preaching about, you got to drink my blood, eat my flesh. They freaked out. They all left. Didn't move Jesus because he was on assignment to hear what his father was saying, to speak what his father was saying, and to do what his father told him to do. Jesus gave his life for us. That's why he came on earth, to die on the cross and to be resurrected from the grave. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the enemy, verse 8, if they would have known this, this is a top level secret mission. If they would have known this, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Because when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, "It is finished," he defeated the Satan. He defeated every demon in hell. He defeated sickness. And he took it all for you and I. That's awesome. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says this, "The living one, I was dead, but now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world." Jesus went down to hell, defeated all the demons, and he says, "I came back and I have some keys." So the results of this, the results of Jesus dying on the cross, being resurrected, being lifted up, the results of all this, why did he do this? Not just to take sin and sickness and all that away, but the results of this, that is that he gave us authority over every evil thing the enemy might try to throw against us. The results of this is he gave us authority. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. So the results of Jesus dying on the cross, being raised up, lifted up, the results of him doing all this is he gave us authority over the enemy. So you don't have to be miserable. So you don't have to live like the world. You're called to be separate from the world. You don't have to go through the problems the people in the world have to go through. I don't care if your family has this and that. It doesn't mean that you have to take it. You have been given authority. That's exciting, amen? Because what Jesus did for us, how he gave us the keys, how he died on the cross and was raised up, and he gave unto you and I power and authority. Amen. You see in the Bible, you read stories in the book of Acts, Peter and John, they walked in authority. Paul walked in authority. They didn't walk around saying, "They don't like me, I'm going to stop my preaching. I feel like I'm wasting time. I don't have money. Maybe I'm this." No, they walked in such an authority because they knew the authority that they had been given. Amen. So I want us to look here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. So verse 14, it says this, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." So there was things that were said about you. There was problems, and it says they were nailed to the cross of Jesus. Isn't that exciting? In verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." I want to read it from the Passion. It says this, "Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon." And I want you to listen to this, "and all their spiritual authority." They don't have power. The enemy doesn't have power over you and I. No demon has power over us as believers in Christ. Amen. So all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. If you feel the enemy accusing you, you're never good, you'll never make it, you just say, "In the name of Jesus, you go. Jesus defeated you on the cross. His victory is now my victory." Amen. And it says this, "and by the power of the cross." So we're talking about the cross. Jesus dying on the cross, being raised up from the dead. "And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his." So by the power of the cross, he led a victory parade. He was not their prisoner, they were his. What Jesus has done for you and I. And this is what he was called to do. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came down on earth to destroy the works of the devil. So you and I don't have to endure the works of the devil because Jesus has already destroyed them. Amen. But we have to know this. We have to take it to heart. We have to have our faith built up in this. Even when situations look like they're coming against you, it looks like the enemy's after you, what do you do? Do you cry? Do you always talk about what the devil's doing? Do you run away? Or do you stand and say, I know what it says in Colossians, that by the power of the cross, Jesus, you won the victory, and I know I have won the victory too, and I come against you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Even a situation in your body where you have a habit or you're fighting something, you go on these scriptures and you come against the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I won't do this anymore. I can't beat it in my own strength, but in Jesus' name, by the power of the cross, you defeated it for me. And you get your faith built up in that. And you get right with God, and it's just you and him, and you say, God, help me. I know what it's like. There was things that were that I needed to get rid of. And I couldn't do it in my strength. I couldn't, you know, even your little self-discipline won't help. Oh, I don't need to be looking at this, so I'm going to break my computer. Whatever it is, you can't do that. You go in the spirit and say, God, help me. You defeated it by the power of the cross. No enemy, no little demon can come and hinder my life. And you put your eyes on him. You spend time in his word and worship. And before you know it, everything will fall off. So by the power of the cross, Jesus led around all these little demons. And they were his prisoner. And this is what Jesus was called to do. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And he gave us the victory. And we now have an authority. We've been given power. Amen. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 16. Isn't God good? In verse 15, you guys know the Great Commission when Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That Great Commission goes on still today. That's in verse 15. Everywhere we go, we are called to preach the gospel. It's not just for people that preach on the platforms or our ministers, that people that wear the suits, but everywhere you go, you preach the gospel. And the way you live your life is the most powerful sermon you could ever preach. Wow, why? They always have a smile on their face. They open up the door for me. They always ask how I'm doing. What are you doing? You're preaching the gospel. The way you live your life is the most powerful sermon you could ever preach. Not just words, but actions. So Jesus gives the assignment. You guys go and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is so powerful. The word of God will change you as you hear it and your faith gets built up. Things will start happening in your life. Maybe you need faith for more finances. You read things about finances and see what Jesus did. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just take sin and sickness. He took our poverty too. And see what it says in the word. The blessing of Abraham is upon me through Jesus Christ. I receive this promise of the Spirit through faith. I thank you, Lord, the blessing of Abraham is on me. I walk in it. I talk in it. Amen. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. He gives them this assignment. But Jesus doesn't, you know, just say that and say, hey, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Good luck. Man, you guys are really in for it. Man, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be a grouchy Christian. I really feel sorry for you guys. But go into all the world and just do whatever, you know. I'll see you guys later. No, he gives the assignment, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And I want us to focus here what he says. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. He says this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. That's us. As believers, signs will follow us. And I want us to focus on this one right here. In my name, they shall cast out devils. So he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and guess what? I'm sending you my name, the power that is in the name of Jesus. I'm giving you a weapon, and you use it as you go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the sign that will follow it is, in my name, you shall cast out every evil spirit. No demon can bother us. No demon can come try to lie to us, get us deceived in all his little tactics. We've been given the name of Jesus. And daily, on a daily basis, we need to remind the devil, you are a liar. In Jesus' name, you cannot touch my family. This is the key. When Jesus says, I come back, I'm giving you the keys. This is the key. The key is the name of Jesus and the power that belongs to us and how he has given us his name. And in the name of Jesus, you shall cast out devils. We've been given power. We've been given authority. We're not victims anymore, but we're victors through Christ. Nothing that we did, something that we deserve, nothing we could ever do, but it was God's mercy and God's grace. And he died for us, and he gave us the keys. He gave us authority. He gave us power. Just the other night, I went to Joseph's graduation, the police academy graduation, and I was sitting there, and it was just great, just, you know, hearing everyone speak, and they were showing videos, and they talked about the power of the badge. And I didn't know why I was going to speak this morning. I even wrote it on my phone, badge. Authority. The power of the badge. What is a badge? It's metal. But it's not just any ordinary metal. They start making it. They start sculpting it. And it's a badge. But that badge means something. That badge represents something. That badge has an authority. It's not just that police officer wearing that badge. It's not just his authority, but that badge is showing you there is a whole army of other police officers this badge represents. Not just police officers, but the state of California, the United States issue. This badge has authority and power. You want to mess with me? There's going to be about 10 others coming on you. And if that's not enough, there'll be more and more and more. But the power of the badge. The authority in the badge. The name of Jesus has some power backing it up. Just like the badge. And we need to know this. He is the name. It represents him. The name of Jesus is above every name. And no demon in hell can stand against the name of Jesus. Authority. Police officers have an authority. If a police officer is out there in the street directing traffic and all these cars, what are they doing? They're watching him. They're obeying him. You turn right. You better turn right. Better not turn left and better not make a U-turn because something's going to happen. But they have an authority. It's not like they're strong enough to stop a car on their own. It's not their strength, but it's their authority. They can't stop a moving car. But they have an authority. And just like us, you can't do it in your own strength. But guess what? It's not your strength. It's his strength. It's his authority. It's his badge. It's his name. Amen. Jesus walked in authority on earth. People dead. He would show up to the funerals. Hey, rise up. They would rise up. He's on the water in the middle of the storm. The winds are going. The water is going. He would say, hey, weather, listen up. Peace, be still. And it would be calm. He walked in such an authority. Growing up, you know where I'm from, we've had tornadoes. I've been in a lot of tornadoes. I've seen people taking authority, my family taking authority over tornadoes. You can't touch my house. You can't touch our family. And I've seen the power of that and the authority that we carry. Right before I met Destiny, I was in a pretty big tornado. It hit our town, direct hit. But guess what? I was up one night and I get a thing comes on the TV. If you're in Branson, there's a tornado 5 minutes away. Take cover. And then I heard the sirens go off. I said, Mom, you better get up. There's a tornado coming. And I said, you can thank me later that I was up. But the sirens would have gone off anyway. But we go downstairs and the thing comes and hits and you hear it. And they always say it sounds like a train. It really does. It sounds like a freight train. You can't even hear yourself. And I'm just praying. And at that time, I didn't really pray very much. But I heard that freight train. I go, so caught up. My mom was like, what got into you, son? God had to send this tornado had to come to scare you. I was praying. I was like, the blood, yeah. I was pulling everything out. And I remember it got all quiet, and we walked outside, and our house wasn't touched at all. But we had signs in our yard of, like, a place called Bob Evans. It's like a Cracker Barrel. It's like a mile away. Their sign was in our yard. All random stuff. And then I said, let me go out. I want to drive around and see what's going on. So I'm driving around, and that was pretty scary. All these cars are flipped over. I saw all these buildings just crushed, people walking around. It was pretty wild. All hurt and stuff. But we have an authority, and I saw that our house wasn't touched. That same storm, my uncle had this house, and he heard the tornado come, and out of his spirit, he said, you won't touch a shingle of my house. I take my place. I take my authority as a believer. His whole neighborhood was wiped out. Fox News came into my town, went to his neighborhood, and said, what happened to you? Not even one shingle is gone from your house. So my uncle got all these books out about authority and gave it all to his neighbor. What happened? He took his place. He took his authority. He didn't sit there saying, oh my gosh, that's going to wipe us out. Whoa, we're done for. No, he said, in the name of Jesus, you cannot touch my home. The blood of Jesus covers my home. I take my authority, the power that has been given to me. And everyone was amazed. That was a talk of the town. Wow, you guys' houses weren't even touched. It was the authority. The name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn. We're almost done here. I want you to turn to Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Amen. We serve a God of power. Amen. So Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it says this, and the 70 returned again with joy. And I want us to look here, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. See, that's what Jesus already told them. Those who believe in my name, you shall cast out devils. So they come back, and they're excited, they're happy, and they said, hey, Jesus, you were right. You know, the devils, they are subject to your name. We've seen some things, and we just used your name, and everything came out good. In verse 18, Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said, I saw Satan get thrown down to earth like lightning. And then he says this, behold, I give unto you power. That word power in the Greek is authority. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, not just some of it, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, not you subject unto them. Don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, the Lord of heaven on earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. So he's saying, Lord, I thank you that you're showing them the power that is in my name. He said, don't rejoice about that. Why? Because that is a given, the authority and the power that we have. And we got to stop talking about what the devil's doing. Stop talking about what's going bad in our life and start talking about what God is doing. And stop being so nice to the devil. Smith Wigglesworth, powerful man of God, he was talking about one time he was at a bus station and a little dog comes up to this lady and she goes, oh, go away, little doggy. And it was just sitting there. She goes, doggy, come on, you're so cute. Oh, you're so cute. Okay, go away. It was still standing there, and she kept saying, oh, go away, and it wasn't going away. Finally, the bus came, the doors opened, and she said, dog, you leave right now. And that dog goes, and just ran off. And he said, that's how we need to be with the devil. Oh, devil, you're bothering me. Oh, man, I'm barely standing. Bless his holy name, you know. Hey, devil, you leave in Jesus' mighty name. He says, we got to be like that lady talking to that dog. Satan, demons, you cannot touch or hinder anyone in my family. You can't hinder my finances. I'm a sower. I'm a tither. I am a giver. Amen. That's what how we have to be. Amen. That's how we have to operate. Yes. Know the power and the authority that we have been given. There's this show. It's an old-time show. I used to watch it growing up, but it's the Andy Griffith Show. Do you guys know about Andy Griffith Mayberry? All right. Come on. Amen. But, you know, Andy, the sheriff of Mayberry, he walked in such an authority. I would like to watch that show and how Andy was. He was always so cool. He always knew what to say. Everyone loved Andy. But then there is his little deputy, Barney Five. He thought he was the big dog. He thought he was so cool. He thought he knew everything. But no one respected Barney Five. If Andy said something, everyone respected what Andy said. But I remember I was watching this episode, and it was Barney Five and they were looking for these, Andy, they're looking for these real bad guys, these outlaws. And, you know, they can't find him. And Barney Five is on his little patrol. And he has his one gun with his little one bullet in it. He's on patrol. And he runs into all the bad guys. There's like four bad guys. And he sees them and he goes, ah! And he gets all nervous. You know how you get? He starts shaking his gun. And he goes, get over here. And they're looking at him. They're laughing at him. They're laughing. And he's like, listen to me. And they're making fun of him, making fun of his little gun. And these guys are bad, you know, tough guys. But then all of a sudden the guys start listening to him. They put their hands up. They get in a line. And Barney's like, yeah, I like it. You know, maybe something switched here. He's all happy. He's all excited. He gets real, you know, forceful. Well, Barney doesn't know right behind him, Andy showed up. And Andy was saying, and they were going, it wasn't Barney, but it was Andy. Barney didn't have the authority, but Andy had the authority. And Barney got all excited because he thought he had some authority, but it was actually Andy behind him. I have a Barney Five story. I remember when I was here in California visiting, and we were eating, and I'm just eating there, and there was like this crazy, you know, homeless guy, and he was screaming at me right in front of my face as I'm eating. What are you doing here? Kill yourself. Take a gun and shoot yourself. Screaming at me. And I was sitting there like, what in the world? Where am I at? And I didn't say anything. I just tried to ignore it. But for like 5 minutes, the guy's yelling at me, nonstop. Shoot yourself. You don't belong here. And now I think about that all the time. I wish that little guy would come up to me now. I was a little Barney there. I didn't know what to say. I was like, California is wild. I was a little Barney there. And I think about that all the time. What would I do? I would replant my mind. What would I do? I would say, in the name of Jesus, you leave. You cannot bother me. I take my place. I take my authority. We have someone backing us up that's way more powerful than Andy. We have Jesus that backs us up. Amen. So I think about that. What would I do now? But I got to redeem myself. You guys know the story. Last year when I was at a gas station, that guy, we're there pumping gas, and this one guy tried to rob me. And I said, what do I do? I heard the Lord say, he's going to try to rob you. He's coming towards me. There's other guys in a parked car. They're hiding. And I said, what do I do? I can't run away from them. Destiny's in the car. What can I do? And I thought this. I know what it says in the Bible. And we got to get to the point. Do we believe the Bible or do we not believe the Bible? Do we have faith in the Word? I had faith in the Word. I know the power. I know the authority that we've been given in his name. So I thought this, I'm going to bring Jesus in on the scene. So how do you do that? You just throw his name out, Jesus. I said, hey guy, Jesus loves you. Jesus has a plan for your life. And the guy screams out, I see it. It's all over you. Pray for me. And there I'm praying for the guy. But the whole situation, literally the whole atmosphere shifted when I used the name of Jesus, the authority and the power in that name. I got in the car and Destiny goes, they were going to rob you. I said, I know. But what did I do? I threw Jesus in on the scene. And he's way more powerful than Andy. It's like Jesus showed up on the scene and they straightened up. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. We've been given power. We've been given authority. Amen. No problem is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible to God. With men, yeah, everything, a lot of things are impossible. But it says in the Word, with God, nothing is impossible. We serve a God of miracles. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever you need, I want you to close your eyes right now. You just take it right now by faith because he has paid the price. He has done it for all of us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for these people here right now. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Hallelujah. God wants you to serve him wholeheartedly, fully on fire for God. Amen. No more lukewarmness. No more religion, but just relationship with him. Relationship with Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Thank you for checking out our podcast. For more information on His Name Ministries, check out our website at hisnameministries.com or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Have a blessed day.